The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you, Richard, and thanks, Evan and team. Well, it is 10 years ago this weekend since we held our first service here at 362 Mackenzie Street, and what a Sunday it was. It had been a time of waiting and praying, of using other premises and praying, of cleaning buildings and praying, There was a lot of that throughout these 10 years. And then we came together here 10 years ago and celebrated. And people came from everywhere. There were 463 people here that very first Sunday. It was an incredible day. And then the following week, we had our dedication service where we dedicated this facility to the glory of God for His plans, for His purposes. Who was here that first Sunday? Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful to see how many people were here. Wonderful to see how many people weren't here, because that means that you've come and joined us throughout the time since, and that's beautiful too. And to those of you who are streaming with us this morning, just blessings as you get to hear and share in our story, whether you were here on that first Sunday or not. So this morning what I want to do is draw parallels between our journey of Rangeville Community Church with the journey of the Exodus and the Passover and the journey then into the Promised Land. Now, why do this? Well, for the Israelites, that Passover was an opportunity for Moses to really speak into the people about what God was going to do, and then what he wanted the people of Israel to do in response to that. And so this is what he said to them: obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And ever since that time till today, the Passover has been celebrated as a festival by the Jewish people and by many Christians. And it's a constant reminder of the promises of God and of the faithfulness of God. And then as we read through the scriptures, we see the story of the Exodus is told again and again. So in Deuteronomy 26, as someone comes to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, they retell part of the story of what God has done. As you read through the Psalms, in poetry, in Psalms like Psalm 78 and Psalm 105, it retells with quite some detail what happened and how their response is to be one of celebration. When you get to the New Testament, the man Stephen is under the, if you like, being questioned by the religious leaders. And in response, he starts to retell the story of what happened to the nation of Israel, knowing that it could actually lead to his persecution, and ultimately it led to his death. You see, again and again, there's this retelling of the story of the nation of Israel. And in the same way, the reason that's done is that people might learn the stories, they might remember the promises of God, and they hear of the faithfulness of God. Today, what we want to do is retell the story. For some, those who put their hand up, this is going to be reminiscing. This is sort of remembering what God has done and how he did it and the part you played in that. There are many here who've never heard this story. And so today's a chance for you to hear of the goodness of God, the promises that he spoke and the way he then faithfully fulfilled that. Now, if you want to have a really good read, can I encourage you to get a copy of Rangeville, A Light Upon the Mountain, which is written by Craig, who's here this morning. And it's an excellent story of the history of Rangeville and again of God's faithfulness. And there are copies available in the foyer for free, so please feel free to get one with your two steak knives. We're not really doing the steak knives. So today, as we start this Exodus story, we go back to God's conversation with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And here the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." So Abraham was living in a land called Haran. He'd lived there where his father and presumably previous generations had lived. And the Lord said, "I want you to go from this place of history and heritage where your family is, and I want you to go to a land that I will show you, a new place." And in the same way, Rangeville had been meeting at High Street since 1912. In 1912, the original church was built. Can I have the back screen up, please? And in 1912, that church was built, and it was the place where the people gathered together to worship for about 50 years. But as the congregation outgrew that, then in 1962, they built this building. And when that was built, it filled, and they extended it, and that filled. So they extended again, and that filled. And then they started to bring other buildings onto that site, and eventually there was this sort of multiplicity of buildings, and it was time. Really felt the Lord was saying, you have been here in this place that I've given you. I want you to go to a place that I will show you. So let me take a few minutes and just tell a little bit of that story through the eyes of myself and Kylie, my wife. We came to Rangeville in 1996. We call this our pre-C era. This was pre-children. And so in that era, we joined a life group, or started a life group together with Scott and Vanessa Lenham, together with David and Lynn Dowling, and then later Corinne and David joined that life group as well. And each week we would meet and we would pray, and we noted our prayers in a little blue book that we kept, and every week we'd write down the things we'd prayed about. And then in the next week or the weeks afterwards, we'd go back and we'd see the things that the Lord had answered in prayer. And we'd just make a note and tick that off. And so it was the 28th of February in the year 2000 when we really felt the Lord was saying, "I want you to start praying for the vision and the location of where Rangeville should go next." And so that night we started to pray, and we wrote it in the book, and we just continued to pray every week about that. And over the next months, the location became clear. The block of land that we're on today. And that was shared with others, and others were getting that same sense as well. And so on the 17th of October, Herman, who was senior minister at that time, he was here at the 8 o'clock service, he received this prophetic word that Rangeville would undertake a building program and that we would move into the ministry complex debt-free. Now, that was a really clear answer to those prayers that we'd been praying from February 28 through to that time in October. We'd been praying for a vision, and God had given Herman this vision about a location and where we were to go. Now, in the same way as Abraham, having heard the word of the Lord, was told to go from the place of his heritage, it became clear that it was time for Rangeville to move from its place where godly generations had met faithfully, week in, week out. But the Lord's saying, it's time to go from this place of your generations to a new place that I will show you. But, you know, getting there wasn't that easy, because under the Rangeville Uniting Church, the land had been purchased for $1.4 million on the 14th of January 2002. But then with decisions that were made and some that weren't made by the Uniting Church in regard to interpretation of Scripture, which we hold really highly, that we really value, after some years of soul-searching and prayer, it was decided by us as a congregation to leave the Uniting Church. And yet to hold on to the vision that God had given us to buy land, build a building, and do that debt free. That was now going to require massive miracles. And yet, God had supernaturally brought the Israelites out of Egypt. That required miracles. There were the plagues, there was the Passover, there was the parting of the Red Sea, where the people passed through on dry ground. Over the next years, so too, God was a God of miracles. He was preparing for us and providing the finances to be able to buy the land back from the Uniting Church and in order to provide the funds to build. So I want to share a little bit of this story using words directly from Herman. These were some words that he'd written in response to this. He said, "The Uniting Church had returned the donations that had been made to Rangeville's building fund after we left the denomination. This amounted to $550,000. We had to offer a cash contract for the land at the current market value at that time, $3.145 million plus GST. We faced a shortfall of $2.6 million to make the purchase. Rangeville's men prayed on a Saturday at a day retreat at Cluley's Resort. The next Monday evening, a prayer meeting was held at the office meeting room. Again, we asked God for the money. We reminded him that he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills and asked him if he would mind selling a few hills' worth of cattle. The rest of the money arrived that week in one gift, a $2.6 million gift. God had miraculously provided. Yeah, incredible. Now, as the Israelites had passed through the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness where they would spend many years. And we too as a church had what we often refer to as our wilderness experience. We left the High Street premises in late 2003 and we were blessed by Christian Outreach Centre, now called Highlands Church, where they allowed us to use their facility. We would meet there at 8 o'clock in the morning. We would have our service. We would then be out of there by 9:30 and they would hold their service at 10 o'clock. But then in the evening we would come together and share together in a combined evening service. But the Israelites didn't just go to the wilderness and go to one place and sit there for 40 years. They moved from place to place. So too did Rangeville. And so after a year at the Christian Outreach Centre, we went to the Martin Luther Primary School and we used their hall for a year. And then the year after that, we went to the Cathedral Centre and we used their facilities there for 1 year. And then in 2007 and 2007, 8, 9 and 10, we went to Rumours. And sometimes we were Rumours upstairs, which was the old nightclub, and sometimes we were downstairs. Sometimes we were up, sometimes we were down, and we got used to moving. And for those who were there, do you remember the smell?
Yeah.
That's a pretty overwhelming response, wasn't it? Stale beer in the carpet smell. So, it's interesting though. You see, while the Israelites were in the desert, they just didn't spend their time sort of twiddling their thumbs. In Exodus 25 to 31, it tells the story of the Lord speaking to them and saying, "This is how I want you to build a house for the Lord. This is how I want you to build the tabernacle. This is the significance of it. This is what I want you to build in it." And so in the same way, during our wilderness experience, we also had a core team that were facilitating the, if you like, the approvals, and then getting ready for construction of this place. There's a core team that had to negotiate with the council, that had to meet with architects and consultants and prospective builders. And through all that time, the congregation prayed faithfully. And God continued to provide all that was needed. So we got to the stage of design and started to meet with the architects to design that. And as we did that, further funds came in. And so in faith, we believe the Lord said, "I want you to go to detailed design." That was 300 pages worth of drawings of the electrical, of the plumbing, of the civil drawings, all of the different engineering drawings. And again, as we stepped out to see the detailed design done, further funds came in. And it wasn't without challenges. We felt the Lord said, I want you to take steps of faith in prayer. For one of those, it was to do what we called our Jericho March. We came onto the land here early in the morning and we walked around it 7 times, praying, and then had a barbecue together as a church. But praying in faith that some of the huge challenges that were like walls or barriers that were stopping the project from proceeding, they came down as we prayed. And so we believe the Lord said, I want you to go to tender. That was another step of faith. And so again, in faith we did, we said to prospective builders, as we tender, we want you to know we don't have all the money. We are still $1.7 million short, but by faith we believe that that will be provided. And 3 builders chose to still go ahead with tender, and through that process we then interviewed and chose our preferred builder. And our builder said to us, why don't we just lend you the $1.7 million? You can borrow that and pay it back. And we said no. We said we believe in this word that we've been given, that we're to buy land to build a building and see that done debt free. That's a prophetic word that we've been given. We're going to believe for that. Now, where the building is here on this site, actually underneath it was where they used to run a sewer line. Now, obviously, that had to get moved in order to build this building. And so as part of that negotiation with our builder, we said to them, why don't we get you to start just the relocation of the sewer line, nothing further, but you know, we've got the funds to relocate the sewer line. How about we do that? But before we do that, because we are a community church, community and sense of church family is a really big value for us. And so we said we want to have a sod-turning ceremony. But we just didn't want one person to come in with a silver-plated shovel and turn the one sod. We said, let everyone bring a shovel. And that's what happened. On that Sunday, as you see in this photo, there are people with digging forks and shovels of all different shapes and sizes. And we all came together, and on the count of 3, we all turned the sod together. It was a journey of faith. And so as we did that, the next day, on the Monday, the excavator came in to start to dig the trenching, ready to relocate that sewer line. And as that happened, in that week, the final donation came in, which was $1.7 million. All the funds that were needed were provided. Incredible miracle of God. In total, $10.5 million to buy the land, to build what we now are in, had been provided up front. And so that meant that then we could sign the contract ready to start construction. And so Herman and I were able to sign that ready to build debt free. God is a God of faithfulness. He keeps his promises. And so for the Israelites, they went from the wilderness to the promised land. But to get there, they had to go through the Jordan River. And God miraculously provided a way that the river parted and they could walk through on dry ground. We were not so fortunate because we at that stage were in what we call rumours downstairs. And you may remember in January 2011, Toowoomba had a flood. And that flood went through rumours downstairs. And the flood went through to a height of about 5 to 6 foot. And that meant that everything in there got soaked. I think there were a couple of spotlights on the ceiling, 2 speakers on poles. They stayed dry. Everything else was wet. Lots of wet. And so the church came together with gumboots. And we went into that place and started to clean up the mess. We got pretty good at cleaning, and so it meant that when we were ready to move in here, rather than pay contractors to come in and do the cleaning, we had our own cleaning working bee. And so people came ready to clean. And we had an amazing time here of cleaning. You can see some younger faces here. wonderful to see people here who in the room today seeing themselves 10 years younger. And this here led into our first service, which was 10 years ago today. It was a time of celebration. I preached on that day. The message was called A New Beginning or The Journey Continues. In other words, it was a story about the fact that the Lord was calling us to a new beginning and a new facility with His plans and His purposes for new things. But on the other hand, it was still a continuation of what God's always been doing. God's always been speaking His word. God has always been fulfilling His promises. And so today, we continue to gather here in what, as Richard prayed earlier, is a physical miracle, a demonstration of God's goodness. And you know, God used Moses to lead the people from Egypt into the promised land. And in the same way, God used a number of very significant people in our journey. In the 8 o'clock service this morning, Herman was here. Herman was our senior minister at that time from 1999 till 2010. And it was him who heard that prophetic word. He heard from the Lord. He spoke it out and led us in faithfulness. He was a remarkable witness to us. Also this morning, I want to thank Ken Rickett, who's here this morning. Ken was very involved in leading the building committee in that first stage as we're working out what to build, but then also, if you like, really project managed our move into here and helped us in that transition of moving into this place as well. And also Peter Graham. Peter was here at 8 o'clock. He was chairman of our council of elders throughout much of that time, and his faithfulness to God was just amazing. His faithfulness to this church continues to be amazing. And he led worship on that first Sunday that we were in this facility 10 years ago. And Peter and Judy's contribution to worship in this church is really significant. And so can we just take a moment and say thank you to those who just led us in that time? There's a key question I think that we need to ask, and that's why. Why has God done this? Why did God speak to Abraham in Genesis 12? And he said to him, your descendants, the people of Israel, through them all peoples on earth will be blessed. You see, they weren't blessed just to sit back and go, well, we're blessed, and just enjoy it. They were blessed in order that all of creation would be blessed through what God would do through them. And in Exodus 19, the Lord said to them, now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Rangeville's always had a really strong focus on equipping and releasing people, and particularly in the area of lay leaders and lay ministry, because it's our belief that God calls every one of us to be a minister, that means to serve in the name of God, Christ, wherever we are, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our workplace, our school, university, our community sporting group or service group, wherever God calls you to minister, to be a priest in that place, to release the goodness of God. He calls us to be set apart. That's what holy means, to be set apart and to demonstrate the goodness of God wherever you go. He calls us to take a kingdom mindset, to think more about what God wants to do through the kingdom of God than what he wants to do through a local church. That a local church is part of the kingdom of God, and our perspective is on the king and serving the king. And for this reason, we've in the last years had a strong focus on what we call releasing the kingdom of God, wanting to see God's goodness released wherever we go. And so one expression of that has been our active engagement in Church of the City in many different ways. So up until now, today, I've been focusing on the journey that's brought us to this place. I want to spend the next little while focusing on what God has done in the 10 years and wants to do. And so let us consider some of the joys. One of the joys that we've had here is baptisms. So just here under the stage is a baptismal tank where we've baptized many people who have come to know Jesus and declare him as their Lord and Saviour. One of the things I love is just the joy that happens for those who are being baptized, the joy we have as a church family, and the joy that this has warm water. Because I remember doing baptisms downstairs in Rumours in winter in a blow-up pool filled with water when it was so cold. It was so cold that it took 2 hours for me to get feeling back in my toes. We have warm water. It's a joy to baptise people. Part of our journey has been that we really chose to work through what we believe God was saying that we are to live and express through our beliefs. And so we wrote what we call our statement of faith. And our journey here was to say, what is it, Lord, that you're calling us to as a church? And how do we declare that or explain that using non-technical, long theological words? Let's try and avoid that, and let's write it in a way that someone who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, someone who's not a Christian, or someone who's just become a Christian, how could they read that and understand it without compromising the truth and the richness of what it is? And so we met for a number of months as we wrestled to try and write this in one A4 page. And that came together, and the congregation endorsed that, and you can read that on our website as a declaration of what we believe. Our biggest event in terms of numbers was this night. It's the night that Heidi Baker came. Heidi Baker is a missionary in Mozambique, an incredible lady. And when people heard that she was coming to Rangeville, people drove from all over. Brisbane, New South Wales, all over the place. And we had well over 1,000 people in here that night. Not just in the auditorium, but as you can see also, we had seats set up in the foyer. It's an incredible night. One of the other incredible joys we've had was started through a conversation I had with a young man who said, I'm trying to decide whether I go to Bible college or to university to do education. And we talked about it, we prayed about it, and a few weeks later he came back and said, I want to study ministry. And I said, that's great. I'm going to talk with our elders about starting an intern program so that we can actually pay you one day a week for the duration of your studies. That young man was Geordie McCubbin. And what a joy it is to see Geordie having studied his Bachelor of Ministry through that time. He's now on staff full-time in children's and youth ministry. Those of you who've been live streaming with us for some time would remember during COVID and now during school holidays, Geordie and Emily do our kids' videos, us Rangeville Kids. These are amazing. And we've now gone on and seen quite a number of our younger people study through Bible college, graduate, and are doing fantastic stuff within Australia. Some have gone overseas and just expressing God's goodness as a result of us being able to bless them and resource them during their studies. One of the other wonderful things about this facility is our kitchen. Our kitchen is more than a place to cook food. It is a place where there's incredible joy. Because the lady who has been leading this ministry is Margaret Vance. And Margaret has done an amazing job of, through her hospitality experience and expertise, but through just the humble and beautiful way that she facilitates an environment in that place where people cook, whether it's meals to give away for people across the city, whether it's meals to be given within the church, whether it's for funerals. So many people have been blessed through the ministry of our kitchen. And just a huge thank you to everyone who's been part of that. Again, I just want to say thank you. One of the incredible feats that was performed in our kitchen was preparing over 300 full meal for us to celebrate a Passover. and we celebrated a Passover here in our foyer. As I say, a few hundred people. It was an incredible time, and so huge thanks. One of the other great joys we've had in the last 10 years is seeing Freedom Life, an incredible ministry of this church, really integrate fully into the life of Rangeville and meet here and use the facilities here, but not just about the facilities, but become fully integrated into very much who we are as a church. Over 400 people every year are ministered to through the Ministry of Freedom Life to find freedom in Christ, to see Christ transforming lives, healing lives, releasing people in beautiful ways. And so, again, just someone to really acknowledge here is Gail Harper, who's been part of this ministry for over 30 years and, again, just a real leader for us. And so huge thank you to Gail and to everyone else in the Freedom Life team. Just incredible there. Some of the things about this ministry complex that are really special are things like our kids' playground. It's a wonderful spot where families can go and meet together. But one of the things that we felt over the last few years was that there was something missing. There was something that was needed. It was a place for quiet reflection. It was a place to appreciate the beauty of God and His creation. And so under the leadership of Yvonne, and then together with John Stewart, whose horticultural expertise has been remarkably used to bless us, and Roy Giditsky, who has done an incredible job in the garden, but then also across the gardens as a whole and maintaining the building, we have seen our prayer garden established and flourishing, and not just part of it, but it grew and it grew. And it's been a rich blessing to many of us. Has been used. I'm aware of one couple who actually proposed in there and then had their wedding in there last year, which was beautiful. So we're really grateful to everyone who's contributed to the prayer garden, to the gardens as a whole, mowing, and also to the way that the grounds and facilities are just kept so beautiful, particularly under Roy's contributions there. You know, there are many areas where we have been really blessed, but I want to finish with where we are right now, which is here in the auditorium. Many years ago, there was a remarkable lady in our church, who's since passed on. Her name was Pauline Entrebus. And she said, Rangeville should make an album of songs that people in Rangeville have written. And so in 2019, it finally happened, where the Uncharted album was recorded live here and then has since been mastered and produced and is available for sale. It's all songs have been written and recorded, performed, etc., by people from Rangeville. And I just encourage you to consider buying a copy of that. It's a real blessing. So the worship aspect of this church is very much the heart of wanting to give praise and glory and honour to God. The auditorium is a place where we worship God in song. It's also a place where God's word is preached each Sunday. And that's often been accompanied by prophetic aspects of ambience. And so under Ann Harris's leadership and a team with her, we've often recreated the stage in different ways in order to express, particularly for people who are very visual, to be able to see and appreciate the ways God speaks prophetically or through visual ways to understand some of what God's doing. I had a couple of spare minutes this week, and in that time I quickly pulled out the spreadsheet and added up how many people have attended Sunday services from the 27th of March 2011 until last Sunday. It's 184,008 people have gathered here for Sunday services throughout that time. That's amazing that we've been able to join together. Now, we haven't always had a full auditorium. In fact, for several months last year, that wasn't the case. As during COVID, we went into a whole new era where we started to live stream our services, where for those who weren't online, DVDs were burnt and delivered, such as to Jackie. Here she is down the front here faithfully when she received her DVD. And so just a very small number of us, for one season it was only five of us allowed in the building, in the auditorium, to produced those services that went out. And we've continued to live stream. In fact, we believe it's a really important aspect as a further expression that builds on a lay preaching history of this church going into other churches. We're now able to live stream across the nation, in fact, across nations, where we're aware of many people each Sunday that gather with us live, as some of you are right now, or download the services during the week. Then, as I say, we came then back after COVID, where we were allowed only 105 in here and social distancing and all of that, and then from November last year back to the 4 square metre rule and 220 people in here as we've continued to gather. And this is where we are now. From where we saw the photo earlier of just a bare block of land to now being able to see what God has miraculously provided. And yet we believe there's more. In that prophetic word, we believe that the Lord was saying to us there's more that's still to be built. And so we have planned towards stage two on the opposite side of the foyer to build a worship sanctuary over there. And our prayer over the years has been, God, come and fill what is yet to be built with people who don't know you yet. Why? Because we want to see people coming into God's kingdom. And so we believe that in this next season, a key part for us is making disciples, fulfilling the Great Commission. Because the prayer we've been praying is, God, fill it with people who don't know you yet. So therefore, how's it going to come about? Through more people coming to know him. And so we all play a part. In the same way as we've all played a part in the journey to get to where we are, we all get to play a part in what God's yet to do to bring many more people into the kingdom. So I look forward with great expectation. At the end of our 8 o'clock service this morning, Pamela Philippa, who's someone in our church who's got a really strong and gentle prophetic gift, just at the end of the message came up and said that during this message this morning, she had seen what was to be stage two, or the worship sanctuary, built. And she said it was clad in crystal. And just as in Revelation, it describes the crystals there as just radiating different colours. She could see the colours radiating out in order that it be an expression of beauty, an expression of the glory of God, but that as it radiates out, that it impacts all around us. Because as I said earlier, it's not about building a building for us just to gather in. We're not just blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing, to bring transformation to this city and to other places, wherever God chooses to use us as his people. So this morning, you've noticed that the message is a huge departure from my usual style, which is to take a section of scripture and unpack that and seek to apply that in our lives. But I believe the Lord was saying for this morning, the scriptures are full of testimony. In the same way as the story of the Exodus and the passing into the Red Sea and through the wilderness experience and into the crossing the Jordan and into the Promised Land is told again and again and again in order that God would receive glory and we would be encouraged and reminded of his goodness and faithfulness. In the same way, he said, tell the story of what he has done here and what he's yet to do. And so this morning, I just want to close with some scriptures. This one here. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. We tell this story this morning in order to thank the Lord. We come with a thankful heart for the way that he has led us and blessed us. We come for a thankful heart with a thankful heart for those who have led us, as Moses and Joshua led the people. Because there are many here who've provided incredible leadership, whether it's in an upfront role or quietly and humbly in other ways, who've contributed to honour the Lord, who in turn has fulfilled his promises and will continue to do so. And so today we praise God because he is good. His love endures forever. See, that's 1 Chronicles 16:34. And that song, Give Thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, was the key song that we sang in our dedication service, which would normally have been 10 years ago next Sunday, but we're focusing today on this story because it's the 10th anniversary of the first service. Next Sunday gets trumped by Easter, right? So we're focusing today. But we sang this song, we sang this verse, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Let us always remember this story with thankfulness because of God's goodness, because of God's faithfulness. And may we in turn express God's love, because his love to us endures forever. May we in turn express that to those around about us. Let's pray. Father God, as we wrap up our message each week, we always stop and ask the question, what have we heard you say and what are we going to do about it? Today, Lord, instead of taking a minute or so of silence to reflect on that, Lord, we want to say thank you to you. Our expression back to you, God, is one of thankfulness for all that you said, for all that you provided, for the faithfulness you've given and expressed to us, and the fulfillment of your promises. Lord, may you be glorified here in this place, through this church and wherever you send your people. May you be glorified always. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that we would be vessels of your love, that we would be an expression of your love in our families, in our community, wherever we are. Father God, this morning we say thank you that when Herman heard, he did something about it, and that he encouraged us to take hold of your word and do something about it. And so, Father God, thank you for all of those who did something. But, Father God, in the same way as that first sermon wasn't just about a new beginning, it was also about a journey continues. Lord, we believe that you want to continue to work through this church for the next decade. Lord, we pray for the next decade as we just believe for many people to come to know you and give their lives to you. As we continue to believe for what you want to do with a worship sanctuary being built. For what you want to continue to do through your people who love you and want to be faithful to you and see your promises just being fulfilled. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.